Hello and welcome to our new podcast. I would love to introduce Dr. Shantanu. He's an Ayurvedic doctor. He's an holistic health practitioner and also an Ayurvedic astrologist. Thank you so much, Dr. Shantanu, for having you here and for taking the chance with me to jump into astrology.
Thank you so much, Anja, for providing me this opportunity and to give me a chance to be on your podcast and the lovely introduction that you have made. And yes, I'm also looking to have a chat about the topic that we are going to start the podcast. It's about the Ayurvedic astrology to make the people aware because I know in Europe and some other countries, the astrology is been known. A term has been known, but regarding the Ayurveda, still there is a lack of information and misunderstanding and the confusion about the Ayurveda. So our main objective is to discuss about the Ayurveda, and because I'm an Ayurvedic astrologer, so my work is a bit different what the Ayurvedic practitioner do or Ayurvedic doctor do. So yes, I'm looking forward.
That's great. Thank you so much for the quick introduction. So let's jump right into it. As you mentioned, Vedic astrology is different than the Western astrology. But
Yes, yes.
how is it different? What makes the difference?
Actually, the difference is the first thing is the origin, because the Vedic astrology came from the Indian land, and regarding the Western astrology, it has came the mainly the origin is from Greece and some other nations. So this is the first difference regarding the origin. And the second thing is that in the Vedic Jyotish or astrology call, we use the sidereal calculations. And in the Western astrology, the astrologers are using the tropical calculation. So what is the tropical calculation? The calculation is based on the rotatory motion of the Earth on its axis in respect to the Sun. And in the Vedic Jyotish or astrology, the sidereal calculation that is based on the fixed star, that is the constellation, or we call as a nakshatras, and it is believed to be the 27 nakshatras. So this is the second difference regarding the Vedic astrology and the Western astrology. There is another difference is that the planets, because in the Western astrology, there is inclusion of the asteroids, some more planets like Pluto, Neptune, Uranus. But in the this Vedic astrology, we don't entertain the Pluto and Neptune and Uranus, because it is we believe that all these energies are subjected to the Saturn. So this is the another difference. Then in the Western astrology, it is based on the principle, that is the transit. The main principle is on the transit. That means the move, that is in the movement of the planets in the different signs. That and in the Vedic astrology, yes, there is a belief, there is a system of this transit, but parallel to it, there are some other another systems. We have so many other concepts. So there's another difference. Similarly, there is a difference that in the Western astrology, it is believed that if a planet, that means has became a retrograde, that it loses its strength. That is believed in the Western astrology. But in the Vedic astrology, it is believed that if a planet, a graha, that means has when became a retrograde, that means it is gained more strength. So similarly, this Western astrology is based on the signs, but the Vedic astrology, it is based on so many other principles. Is yes, it is believed that the existence of the sign in Rashis, but with parallel we have the dashas, we have the transits, we have the pratyanta dasha, we have sukshmantar dashas. In the Vedic astrology, we have the yogas, the conjunctions. But in the Western astrology, there is no significance of the conjunctions. But The only conjunctions point is that they have, if for two planet is near to the 1 degree, it is believed that there is a conjunction. But in the Vedic astrology, as for the degree is also there, but we have some conjunction. If suppose two planets are mutually opposite to each other, if there is an interchange of the sign, Parivartan yogas, if there is a Lakshmi yogas, there are so many other yogas are there which is having a significant role. So these are the differences of the Western astrology as well with comparison to the Vedic astrology. But both the sciences having their own significant role. So we can't deny and we can't judge that which one is more superior. It is just like a belief, and yes, there are so many other differences we can talk about, and we can have another half an hour or 1 hour session like that. But to be very honest, these are the superficial differences that from my point of view, that it should be there on your podcast. So yes, I'm not going to make a comment that which astrology is more superior, which science is more superior, is another topic. But yes, but in today's era, nothing has been fixed. That means you will see the Western astrologers from Germany or another part, you will see they are using the concepts of nakshatras, they are using the concepts which is there in the Vedic astrology. Similarly, the Vedic astrologers are also using some concepts of this Western astrology. It makes things in the proper way. So there is no competition, there is no tussle between the Western astrology and this Vedic. Both are the signs, and we should learn and we should welcome both the things.
Totally agree with you. So how can Vedic astrology help me to understand not only my personality better, but also my life and the goals, and also probably health?
In the Western astrology, we have so many concepts because how it works. With Vedic astrology, it is believed that the time you have taken the birth, we have certain planetary combinations, and those planetary combinations are we have got due to the Pashchat Karma, that means the previous life. In the Vedic astrology, it is believed that whatever the auspicious and inauspicious result that you are getting, any health issues or whatever the chronic issues, especially the chronic issues, is as per the previous birth deeds. And because of that, you got some planetary combinations in your chart, and those planetary combination is having their a significant role on your psychic, on your psychological thoughts. And that makes you to do particular actions. Let's say somebody is having that Saturn in the Ashwini Nakshatra is an Aries sign, is debilitated in the retrograde motion, the second house. Definitely, that particular individual gonna have issues related to the speech, gonna have issues related to the insecurities around the money matters. Gonna have issues. Maybe the head injury is gonna be there for the person. Maybe troublesome issues with the family. And the person going to move out from his or her house in order to attain more things. So this I just give you an example. Similarly, that you ask the question that how this works, these principles for your health. So in that contrast, the planetary motion like the moon, the motion of other planets has been correlated with the saptadhatus on the body. That means the seven dhatus in the body. And they are the energy points. And in your chart, let's first say, for example, if your moon has been afflicted with some another negative energies, definitely that gonna give you some psychological issues, gonna give you some anxiety issues. But this is very complex. I can't make you understand just in few minutes, because it's a very complex topic. I'm just telling you that each planet, each grah is having a significant role on your psyche. And you are moving, suppose for, let's say you are moving the dasha of moon. The moon is afflicted Definitely, you're going to see results. You may have some anxiety issues, you may have the phobias, you may have some more depressions, and you're going to be more prone to those factors during that phase. And by knowing the chart, we can analyze that, yes, this is the hard time. We have to control the negative energies on moon. So we can plan a treatment, either by the help of Ayurveda, either by the help of astrology. And to be very honest, they are not the different entities. They are the same entities. Because in this Vedic culture, all the signs, there comes under one umbrella that is known as the Vedas. We have four Vedas, where all the knowledge of the universe is there in these four volumes. And those are the aptas. That means the knowledge has been perceived directly from the core. So this is how that the astrology, the medical astrology works. And this is how I'm doing my work. That means we have to be very much sure about the planetary position, the time, dasha, the antardasha, and especially the transit. So by looking that, you will get to know, okay, this is not the appropriate time.
So based on the chart of the Vedics, you basically combine it with the philosophy of Ayurveda, and then basically you treat your patients in their doshas, which have an effect on their health, if I understood that right. But what are the doshas in Ayurveda you mentioned?
Doshas are like, there's a shloka, that means the shloka states that dushyanti iti dosha. That means they are the factors which vitiated the dushya. The dushyas are what? They are the dhatus. We have the seven dhatus in our bodies, okay? And so these are the factors which gonna vitiate the dhatus. And dhatus are what? They are the essential part. But the doshas are also essential parts.
What do you call the doshas? I would say, in my perspective, it's basically the four or five elements, whatever you count on. You come to this, like once you're born, you come with a certain state of balances in those elements. And that's what you basically call doshas.
Yes, yes. So like you are absolutely right. The doshas are subjected to the panchamahabhutas. They are the essential and the basic things. That means that the panch mahabhutas, that means the air, fire, or so they are the five elements, and they are subjected to the tridoshas. That means, for example, the vata is subjected to akash and the vayu mahabhut. Similarly, for the pitta is agni and the jala. Similarly, for the kapha is the prithvi and the jala. So all these like there is a combination of panch mahabhuta to the doshas. And doshas are what? They are the vital things, and they have their own functions. Let, for example, the vata dosha, it regulates the momentary motion. That means all the motions present in our body, whether it's the excretion, whether it's the respiration. So all those vital momentaries, for example, the nerve condition also, you can correlate with the vata.
So it's combined with air and like the movement.
Movement. So all the movements in our body, everything. And it is believed that Vata is more predominantly, is more dominant than the Kapha and the Pitta.
Of course.
Because whatever the function the Pitta and Kapha are doing is subjected to the energy of Vata. There's a shloka in the Charak Samhita states that the pitta pangu kapha, the kapha pangu mala dhatuva. That means that the pitta is paralyzed, the kapha is paralyzed without the vata. That means they don't have any significant role without the vata. And all vata, pitta, kapha, they are present throughout our body. In each part you will see vata, pitta and kapha, but there might be dominance of vata, there might be dominance of a pitta in certain region. Let's first say in the pakvashe, that means below our umbilicus, there is a dominance of the vata. Similarly, above umbilicus and below the your heart region, it is believed to be the place of the pitta. And similarly, in the Uttar Pradesh, that means above the chest region and supraclavicular region, you will see dominance of the kapha. That does not mean that Vata is not present in our head. It's not like that. All three doshas are present everywhere. There is a shloka of Vata that Uchho Svas Nisvas Chesta Dhatu Gati Sama Sva Moksho Gati Mata Vayakarma Vikaraja. That means this shloka states the function of the Vata. That means Vata is what? Doing the expression, Vata is doing the momentary things, and all the vital things is subject to the Vata. Similarly, we have shloka for the Pitta also. Darshan.
I guess your audio is stuck. I guess. Oh, there you are.
There was a disturbance. There was a slight disturbance. There was a disturbance. So I was saying the shloka for the pitta. It's darshan pakti ushma cha shutishta de mardhamam prabha prasado medha cha pitta karma vikarajam. That means that pitta is responsible for the digestion. It is having that agni tattva. That means the fiery things. And what fiery things do? It metabolizes. That means anabolism, the catabolism. So it metabolizes things. And it is believed that pitta is tikshna, is ushna, is fiery things. So all the fiery things and the sharp things, the mobile things are subject to the pitta. And it gives you the lusher, it gives the vision, it gives you the digestion property, that means regulated with the jatharagni. And so all these things are subject to the, in the broader perspective, we can have include so many things, but just to make you understand on the superficial level, I have stated the shloka, but the particular shloka is having deep meaning, is having, so you can collate with so many other things. Similarly, for the kapha, is heavy. The kapha is heavy. It is the cold in the nature. It is sweet in the nature. It is slimy. So these are the properties of the kapha. And the kapha is believed that it do the function protection, because it's related with the oja as well. It is related with so many other things. That means it is related with the bone structure. And you can collate with the synovial fluid. So all these things are subjected to the kapha. So the vata, pitta, kapha. My main aim to discuss about it was to make you aware that vata, pitta, and kapha, they are three doshas, but they are very essential for the body, for the mechanism. So that is what all about the vata, pitta, and the kapha.
That makes the whole system very complex, I'll understand. But if you break it really, really down into the basic principles, how would you say, like, just for a daily routine, everyone, no matter, because people now then tend to understand, like, what am I? Like, how is it functioning with me? Well, at the end, it's not important. Like, once you go in the process of Ayurveda, and the principles are easy sometimes, like, what practices could you recommend what people can do in their daily routine? Because at the end, it's, as you said, it's just a balancing of the five elements.
Yes. Absolutely right. So like balancing the five elementary level, because they are very basic, and because we can't analyze those sukshma dhatus, the sukshma points, because they are very minute things are there. So we go about to it. That means we're going to talk about the doshas, because doshas are subjected to the panchma bhuta, as I already stated. So to be healthy, because that's the objective of the Ayurveda, the science that state that swastasya satrakshanam aturasya vikar prashmanam cha. So what does it mean that the aim of the this science is, if somebody is healthy, he or she should remain healthy. And who is diseased, we should do the practice in order to make the person cure. That is the all objective of this science. And to be the healthy, because vata, pitta, and kapha, if somebody who is healthy, you will see that there are going to be balance of vata, pitta, and the kapha in the body. That is known as a samyata. That means the vata, pitta, kapha are present in the equilibrium. And when you're going to disturb that equilibrium, you're going to have the disease. That is the concept. And to cure that thing, or for the prevention part, it is believed that our whole life, as per the Ayurveda, is believed that is subjected to the three upastamba. That means the ahar, nidra, and the brahmacharya. So ahar means the diet, the nidra means the sleep, and the brahmacharya, that means the right regimens, what we should do. That means that means you should have a clean thought. There are so many things subjected to the brahmacharya. The first thing, the ahar, if you have a good diet, let's first say, if you have analyzed that your body is the vata prakriti, and then also you are taking, as I mentioned about the properties of the vata, that is the, it is the ruksha, that means the dry, tatta ruksha usula anila. So that means it is having dryness, it is shita, it is laghu, and once you are, your body is a vatik prakriti, and again you are taking the vati elements more, that means you are, again you are taking the dry fruits, you are having that means the food which is going to aggravate the vata dosha, you will see that you're going to prone to have the vatik disease more. That is the concept. And to balance it, you should have a control over the diet. That means you should focus on the dinacharya, you should focus on the ritucharya. That means following the diet as per the season. That means, for example, you should have a good diet plan. If there's a winter season, you should have a good plan of diet, which is going to allow you to be healthy. Similarly, in the autumn season, you should have a different plan. I can't discuss all these things in just...
But it's basically the basics. Like, from my perspective, when once I jumped into Ayurveda and the whole thing, it was more like, it is like a land or a map for your own body to really, really study the own being, the own personality, what is in balance, what is in imbalance, how do I live, as you say, what nutrition do I take, what thoughts do I let in my mind, what are my habits, what causes diseases, which I should probably look more into it. And people always understand it, in my perspective, kind of wrong, because they want to know a lot about Ayurveda, but don't understand, yeah, but you have to look inside you. You just have to do it individually. As you said, it's not like just giving a recommendation. Yeah, but the deeper you look, as you said, on the date of birth from the Vedic perspective and on the person sitting in front of you, like, it will never fit to another person listening to this. It is so individual, and that's what I really love about it. How is it about the combination? Like, how does your work look like? Okay, you said you work with Ayurveda and you work with the Vedic astrology. How is it, I wouldn't say contribute, how is it aligning your work? How is it also, like, where do you put the healing out? Like, of course, Ayurveda gives you the perspective of the person when he or she was born, and the person sitting in front of you gives you the actual picture what's happening. But how do you combine then your work? How does that look like?
Okay, so I got your question, Anja. Actually, it's just like you are looking this particular thing differently. Both the sciences are not different. It's just like they are the two aspects of the same coin. That means head and the tail. And in this Vedic culture, that means in the Vedas, the sciences were never be segregated. They were not separated.
Got it.
So there was a shloka of the Naras Samhita that shows that Vedishu Nirmalam Chakshu Jyoti Satmana Uttamam. That means that this science, that means the Vedic Jyotish, you call, is regarded as the topmost position, has been correlated with the Chakshu Jyoti, that means the eyesight. That means why you study this astrology, that means the Vedic astrology, is to have the eyesight to detect what the thing is right, what path I have to choose. And earlier times, in the ancient times, the study was started by learning this Jyotish, that means the astrology first, so that you will have better understanding about the different sciences. So it was never been separated. For example, I'm giving an example that let's first say in Ayurveda is based on three doshas. That means the very simpler thing, Vata, Pitta and Kapha. The Vata dosha is subjected to the Saturn, or you can call it with Rahu. You can call it with the nakshatras as well. Similarly, with the Pitta, you can call it with the Sun. You can call it with the Asti Dhatu as well, because Sun is subjected to Asti Dhatu as well. So we have so many evidences. It's not different, actually. For example, the Moon, it represents the watery element. And it represents the body fluid or the blood. Similarly, for the Mars, is subjected with the Majja Dhatu. That means your bone marrow. So they are not the different. We can call it with the nakshatras as well. Each nakshatra is having subjected to the particular doshas and the particular dhatus. Just recently, I got one question from someone that the lady asked. She was a therapist from Sweden, and she just asked me that about the, is there any correlation with the 108 padas and the mama points? Yes, there is correlation with the 108 padas and the mama points. There is no difference. So all the things are correlated. They are not different. It's just like this world has taken things differently. It's the same thing.
But in the Western, you notice people separated, like I did. I thought it's two different things. Like, because we are not into the philosophy, and that's why we're sitting here. It's like, and to really give people an eye-opening insight. I'm like, yeah, it's one. As you say, it's not something you separate. It belongs together. So basically, from my point of understanding, people are missing out a lot when they only take the little part of Ayurveda and basically leave the Vedic astrology out. That is basically the key. Of course, you cannot explain everything, but as you said, the energy and the perspective, how you look on your clients, will drastically change when you have the whole picture instead of just a little piece.
So this is what used to happen in the ancient times, that the sages, the acharyas, they used to teach all the four Vedas, starting from the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Athar Veda, Sam Veda. And so there was a combination where, suppose, for example, you will get the knowledge of Ayurveda, you will get the knowledge of Jyotish. At the same time, you will get the knowledge of art, reforms, architects, and so many things. And after studying the four volumes, you're going to be a complete individual. You're going to be an intellect person. And after that, as per your chart, as per your energies, you're going to focus, for example, after studying the four Vedas, the thing that came to my mind, okay, I want to be a doctor. I'm going to focus much more on the medicine part. So that means you can't make somebody fool that because he's aware of all the things in the nature. He's aware of all the knowledge and the sciences. So that's why, as you mentioned, in the Western part, the people are just learning a small section of Ayurveda. And so, yes, this is what.
Yeah, that's true. Totally
have a
true.
Complete, it's better to have complete knowledge rather than getting a small fraction. So,
yeah, thank you, Dr. Shantanu, for your time and for the little overview. I'm very keen to jump more into the Ayurveda and more into the deeper part of the Vedic astrology. What is your wish for the people out there to have a better understanding of Ayurveda? Like,
To be very honest, earliest time, that means the Western people, they used to come to India just for a shorter period of time, let us say for a month or for maximum to 6 months, for having some certification or diploma like that. But the scenario has got changed. Now I have seen people coming from Western, they are doing the BAMS, that means the course that I did almost for 6 or 7 years. They have came to India, they are doing the PG, they are doing PhD. I've met one lady, she was from Russia, and she did the PhD as well. So now the scenario is getting better, as compared to the earlier times. And yes, is not enough. There should be more awareness about it, so that because I've seen people getting the online certification for a 1 month and 2 months. They are having their Panchkarma center, and that for them also is not possible to work properly without that knowledge, just because they have a certification. So I can feel for them is required to, because this science is very complex, to be very honest. It's very complex. After studying for so many years, that won't be sufficient for this science, to be very honest. Yeah. Each day, whenever I look this Samhita, that means the books of the classical books, each day I got some new more ideas. So this is how things going for me. And I suggest the individuals who are there in the Europe and other parts, those who are willing to learn more about Ayurveda, is keep learning. The science is like never ending. You require so many births to complete.
That's true. Totally agree with you. Thank you so much, Dr. Shantanu, for having your time, your perspective, and your view. I'm happy to talk more about it in the future. And thanks for having you.
Thank you so much, Anja, for giving me this opportunity. And yes, I'm looking to work more in that field, especially in the Europe section. And that's what, for that reason only, I'm going to start the short courses, which is about the Ayurvedic astrology, going to start the next month. And I'm hopeful that I'm going to have more people, my clients from different parts of the world. And I will try to add the Ayurveda and the astrology, and yes, I'm going to give the different perspective how to use this knowledge, because there is an shloka which states that Graheshu Patikuleshu Nana Kulami Beshijamti Beshijanamaranti Balvantipi Te Pratikita Granado Pashat Purya Chikisitam. So that states that to be a good ideal practitioner, you should have the knowledge of Vedic astrology, you should have a knowledge of this other sciences as well. This is how they are not different. They are actually the same science.
Yeah. So if you want to know more about it, I post all the links in the captions, so people can book sessions with you or get to know more, or write us an email. And yeah, thanks for that.